having our minds renewed. And we've seen that there is no safe, there's no neutral ground. We're either being conformed to the world by all the external pressures that we face every day, or we are being changed inwardly from the inside out, as we talked about or sang about today in that song, as we allow God to work in our life. God's Word tells us in Romans 12:2, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Our mind is like a battlefield. You know, that's where the devil tries his hardest to deceive us and to take us away from the truth of God's Word. That's what he does. And he will try to turn us, not only try to turn us away from God, but he's going to try to tear us down and literally destroy us. And that's why we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. We can't expect to throw out, of course, all the bad thoughts and all the junk and all the worldly thinking and not put something else in. So we looked at the type of things that we're supposed to put in our mind. We're supposed to fill our mind with things that whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, lovely, admirable, anything is excellent or praiseworthy. Philippians 4:8 tells us to think about these kind of things. Put this stuff up in your mind. That's how we begin to make the process, the change in our life. But today what I want to look at is the role the Holy Spirit plays in renewing our mind. We can't, you know, I touched on it a little bit in probably every one of those messages. I can't hardly speak a message without talking about the Holy Spirit. And but today I want to focus on that, about the Holy Spirit's role in transforming our mind. Actually, I'll just touch on that even. It would take months to probably talk about everything that he would do. But if we start out here in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, it says, "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, and therefore sisters, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and the daughters, or the children of God. For you did not receive the Spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." So once again, we see, as we've talked about over the past few weeks, I didn't use any of these scriptures, but we find that we have a choice. We have a choice. We can be dominated by the sinful nature. We can let our mind be dominated by the sinful nature, or we can let our mind be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And that choice is ours because we have free will. And God is not going to force us to love Him. He's not going to force us to follow Him. He gives us our free will. And if we choose the first way, having our mind dominated by the sinful nature, that means that the focus of our thoughts will always be on what the self wants. And I'll say this for the thousandth time. We are not, or we are a body, you know, with a spirit, but we are, wait, let me say that again. We are not a body with a spirit inside. We are spirit, a spiritual being with a body on the outside. The true us is spiritual. And if we choose to pamper the body part, the self, the flesh, the carnal nature, then we're going to have, that's the sinful nature that we're talking about that leads to death. And we don't want to put our whole focus, all our thinking, all our mind's activity on taking care of just the body, the carnal nature. That, you know, the only law that that sinful nature follows is for itself. It just, it always, the law is to please itself. And it takes what it wants, when it wants, it likes, you know, whatever it likes, it does what it likes, and it just, it lives for self. And that mind, when we are controlled by that sinful nature, we find that a lot of different things begin to work in our mind, like passions and lust and pride and ambition. Those things begin to control us. Pleasure and power, you know, wealth and all the different things of the world. Those kind of things, they attach, you know, they attract themselves to our flesh, and they make our flesh hunger for that kind of life, that kind of living, those kind of things. They tickle our flesh with thoughts of pleasure and desires that are not of God. And, you know, a combination of these things typically works in somebody who is led by the spirit or the carnal nature. And that's not what we want. That's not what we want. The mind that is that's the mind that is devoted to gratifying the desires of the flesh. That mind will have no knowledge or no desire for a knowledge or for the beauty or the holiness of God. It just doesn't matter. When we're dominated by that carnal nature, we don't care about the things of God. We don't care about the things that are unseen, the spiritual truths, the eternal values, and we don't even give them a second thought because they don't mean anything to the carnal nature. They're foolishness to the carnal nature, to the man or woman who is dominated by the carnal nature. Romans 8:6 says, "The mind of sinful man is death." It not only leads to eternal death, but it tells us there that it actually is death. It's death when we follow those carnal ways. It leads to condemnation. It leads to guilt. It leads to despair. It leads to hopelessness when we allow our carnal nature to be our guiding light, you know, to be the way we live. Romans 8:7 says the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. It can't. Verse 8 says those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Verse 13 says it loud and clear, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. You can't say it any clearer than that. Now we see the other side. That's the bad side. I want to get that out of the way. You know, now we see the other side, which is the second door, choice number two. And that's in Romans 8:9. And it says, "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you." Romans 8:5, the second part says, "Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires." Romans 8:14 says, "Because those who are led by the Spirit are the sons and daughters of God." So that's how we want to be. We want to be those who are led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8:15 says, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. And that spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." Alex was talking about that today, you know, that we're God's children. God welcomed us into his family, and he desired us. He called us to be his child, his children, his son or his daughter. He desires to be our Father. There's a huge difference in these two approaches to life, following the sinful nature or following the Spirit of God. When sin is in charge, we become slaves to the very things that lead us to death. But when the Holy Spirit is in control, then we become sons and daughters of the living God, and we're no longer slaves to sin. That's a totally different approach to life. And so we have to make a choice. Which way are we going to follow? We can't just sort of wallow in the middle. Because in the spiritual kingdom, in the walking with Christ, when you don't do anything, you're falling back. Because the world is constantly pressuring us, constantly pushing in. The devil is out there looking for ways to take us down, to take us out. Sin is crouching behind the door, always ready to come and get us. And so if we just think we can just sort of float along, try to, you know, wallow in our life and not really put any effort into following Christ, and we think like, well, I won't really be that bad. I'll still love God. I really don't follow Him that much, but I still, and I hear that all the time. I see that all the time. People that, you know, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, no, I don't really go to church. I don't really read. I don't really do anything. But, you know, God knows my heart. And that's the line you hear all the time. But God knows my heart. Yeah, our hearts are deceitful and wicked above all things. And our heart will tell us we're fine when we're dying. Just like Lewis. It's a perfect example. You know, I mean, he was dying and he didn't know it. And, you know, in his mind he was thinking, oh, it's just something simple. It's just, I got a backache. I'll go to the chiropractor. Well, that's how the devil works in the spiritual realm. Oh, it's nothing. It's nothing. You'll be fine. Just go ahead and go on with your life, and don't worry about God. There's no problem here. You're not dying. The devil is a widow maker. He wants to destroy us. Romans 8:6 tells us the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. I don't know about you, but that sounds good to me. Life and peace. God not only gives us an eternal life, but He gives us a life on earth that is worth living. He gives us a purpose, meaning, a life of peace that transcends our all understanding, even in the midst of our troubles. And we will have troubles. We will have problems. That's a promise of God. It tells us right in the book of John that we will have troubles, but Jesus says, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. So He's there, and He gives us a peace in the midst of those things. According to Philippians 4:7, that peace will guard our hearts and our minds in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. Another thing the Holy Spirit does for our mind is He helps us to see into that eternal kingdom so we can understand the spiritual truths that God has given to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind, we're talking about the natural mind now, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, the Holy Spirit, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. It doesn't resonate. If we don't have the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we don't get it. We don't hear it. We don't believe it. We think it's foolishness. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. But the spiritual man makes judgments about all things. He himself is not, although he is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ in the Holy Spirit. Human eyes cannot see into the spiritual dimension. Human ears cannot hear into the spiritual dimension. We can't taste it. We can't feel it. We can't smell it. Our five senses were given to us by God to allow us, enable us to operate on this earth, to function, to experience the things that go on in the material world. But now, as sons and daughters of the living God, we've been given a sixth sense, a new ability. And it's not ESP, not that kind of sixth sense. It's HSP, Holy Spirit perception. That's what God has given to us. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. That's for you. Our regular minds, we don't know it. But God can show it to us by his Spirit. Do you love God? Yeah. Do I love God? You ask yourself right now, do I love God? Do you guys love God? Are you one of his? Well then, know that God has prepared great things for you. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. If you love him, if you're one of his, God's been preparing for you. You know, next month is Thanksgiving. Every year, we always put out a big spread for Thanksgiving at home, as I'm sure most of you do. And, you know, we prepare all kinds of things. My wife is a great cook. And she does a tremendous job preparing and cooking. And, you know, it's a lot of work. And my job is to set everything up and, you know, get all the stuff ready, you know, the tables and that kind of stuff. Make sure we, you know, go out and buy all the plates and all those kind of things. And we do this. It's a lot of work, but we do it because we're preparing a feast. We're preparing something for those who are coming over, people that we love, people that we care about. And imagine the kind of feast that God is preparing for us, a never-ending feast, an eternal feast, the wedding supper of the Lamb, the, you know, the great banquet. I mean, he's got so many things in store for us that we can't even ask or imagine. We can't understand all the good things he's got set up for us because he's been preparing. I go to prepare a place for you. And he has unlimited resources. He's got all kinds of helpers. He knows exactly what pleases us. And his love for us is amazing. And the Holy Spirit is able to begin to reveal at least a taste of that. We get sometimes through the Spirit of God, we get just a taste, we get a hint. It's like an aroma that comes in and we get a taste of what heaven could be like. We get a feeling of what heaven could feel like. We sort of just get a touch from God. And I'm telling you, even though those times the Holy Spirit speaks, it's good. It's such a small amount of what is in store. God has prepared something amazing for you. There's nothing in this world, nothing on this earth that in any way compares, and yet we run after the things of this world to the neglect of God. And God gives us his Holy Spirit to try to, like, you know, the more time we spend and allow the Holy Spirit to live in us and live through us, we keep getting more insight or taste of what God has in store for us. And he starts to work up here in our mind. And he renews our mind. No mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. We've received the Spirit who is from God that we may understand what God has freely given us. 1 Corinthians 2:12. All that comes from God must be spiritually Holy Spirit discerned. Otherwise, God is a fairy tale. God means nothing. God is boring. God is just sitting on a cloud with a harp. That's going to be our eternal destiny, which sounds pretty boring to me. That's the cartoon, you know, the world's cartoon of what our reward will be. It's not going to be anything like that. It's going to be so far past that that no mind can even imagine or conceive it. Only the Holy Spirit can give us a taste of it. John 16:13 tells us, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit wants to teach us up here the truth. God wants us to be filled with His Spirit so we can be spiritually minded. So we can have an inward knowledge, a conviction, a reality. So we can know the reality of spiritual things. Of God's kingdom. Of His power, of His majesty, of His love, of His forgiveness, of His mercy and grace, and all the good things that are real, that are God's. God wants us to see the spiritual world that is triumphing over this passing material world. God's kingdom is victorious. The Christian life is a life of victory. He wants us to see that victory, the victory we have over sin and death because of the cross. He wants us to see that He's always with us, that He's an ever-present help in times of trouble, but our physical eyes, our natural eyes, cannot see that. That's why when we get beaten down because bad things are happening to us, if we're not allowing the Spirit of God to minister to us, to focus through us, all we see is disaster. But when we turn our eyes towards heaven, when we allow the Spirit of God to start ministering to us and through us, and we begin to see with those spiritual eyes, all of a sudden we see that God is with us. And in fact, whoa, God is actually working this out. And God is doing that. And I see that God is actually turning this into a good thing. All of a sudden we begin to see the spiritual side of what's going on. And everything changes. The Holy Spirit can help us put everything into perspective so we can experience the love and the joy and the peace that God has already made available to us. God is the answer to our every problem. We just have to start using our HSP, our Holy Spirit perspective or perception. More regularly. We have to keep going back, taking the time, taking stock, you know, getting before God, being still before God, and letting Him minister to us through His Holy Spirit and showing us what's going on. God doesn't want us to be all bound up in this world. And so often, many times, we are. God doesn't want us to be all bound up. He wants us to be set free. He wants us to be victorious. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Is God bound up in any way? I don't think so. I can't imagine God being bound up. Who could bind Him up? What could bind Him up? Nothing. God is not bound up. And God wants us to walk in that truth, in His truth, through the Holy Spirit, knowing that we don't have to be bound up either, that there is freedom where the Spirit of the Lord is. When Jesus walked on this earth, He walked in freedom. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, it says, without measure, and He was in constant contact with His Father. And remember, even when Jesus was being taken to the cross to die, He said, you're not killing me. You're not putting me to death. I am laying down my life willingly. I came here to die. I'm just using you to put me on the cross. He did it freely. And we have the same freedom that Jesus had to lay down our lives. Jesus laid down our lives so we could have that freedom, so we could be set free, so that we could enter into that Holy of Holies that we sang about today, so that we could have a restored relationship with our Father in heaven, so the veil could be torn in two. That's why He willingly laid down His life. That's what He came to this earth for. He came to earth to die for us. And now we have that same freedom to lay down our lives. Luke 9:24 says, "Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it." Many people, they don't want to give their lives. They don't want to give up to God. I want to be in control. I want to dictate my own life. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I don't need God. I don't want God. That's a common refrain from people who are unwilling to accept God in their lives. But when we willingly lay down our life for the Lord, that's when we find out who we really are. He's the Creator. He's the one who made us. And all we're doing is we're saying, okay, I lay down this self here so that my real me, the spirit in me, my spiritual being, can come out, and now I can be connected to you and become what you made me to be. That's where we find true freedom. That's how we get free, by being led by the Spirit of God. Then the things of this world no longer enslave us. The Holy Spirit can enable us to see the truths of God, to see into the spiritual realm and into the freedom that is there for us. Galatians 5:16 says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful flesh. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like." That's the way of the world. That's what we're seeing all around us right now. And he says, "I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, when we live by the Spirit, there's a fruit that comes out, and it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and its desires. And since we now live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." See how much the Bible speaks about the Holy Spirit? I find it amazing that there are people out there who think that the Spirit of God is not for today. That the Holy Spirit, His purpose ended years and years, thousands of years ago. That's ridiculous. All throughout the Bible we find that the only way we can live, the only way we can survive as Christians is the Holy Spirit. When we let the Holy Spirit have access to our mind, when we let Him lead us, when we willingly give Him control, we find a whole new world opens up to us. The world of the spiritual realm that is way more exciting, that is way more beneficial to us, that is, in fact, the real world. It's like in the Matrix, you know, we have these two worlds going on, and one is totally fake and one is real. In this case, though, the real one is the spiritual one, and it's way better. There was a line in that, I think somebody else mentioned this once before, too. There was a line in that movie, The Matrix, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but there was one guy who said, "I don't care that it's fake. I still like the taste of the things. I like the taste of that fake meat better than this real stuff we're eating here." And sometimes our flesh wants to overpower our spirit and say, you know what? I like the stuff in this world, in this natural world, in this material world. It's real. I mean, but it's not as real as the spiritual world, because this world is passing. It's fading. And the spiritual realm is eternal. And we are eternal. We are eternal beings. We don't die and then become eternal. We're eternal right now. The spirit within us is going to keep on going. But this flesh will die. And it will rot in the ground and be gone. But our spiritual being, the real us, lives on and on and on. And I want every one of us here, when we go, when we leave this body behind, I want to make sure that we end up in the right place. According to this word, if we live by the carnal nature, we die. That means we go to hell. The real place, hell, that people don't like to talk about. H-E-double-L with no O at the end. Except when they're down there going, oh, but I don't want to be in hell. I don't want to see anybody go. I wouldn't want my worst enemy, which I don't even have, but I wouldn't want to see anybody go to hell. Neither does God. God's desire is that everyone should be saved, that none would perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would have eternal life. He doesn't want anyone to have to go through that. And he offers us so many ways, so many inducements, so many times he comes and tries to bring us to him. And he gives us his Holy Spirit to work in our mind, to train us, to teach us, to try to see what we have, what good things he has in store for us, what a wonderful life we have waiting, you know, in the future. But also, when we have the Holy Spirit, it makes even this life better. We can't lose. We cannot lose when we make the choice to live for God, to die to self, this self, to not follow the cravings of this sinful flesh, but instead to live for God, to be led by his Spirit. We begin to experience, when we allow the Holy Spirit to move in us and we allow him to have access to our mind, we begin to experience the love of God in a way that we never knew before. We begin to experience a freedom in our life that we never knew before. We begin to experience God's beauty all around us. We begin to see that there's a lot of good. Even in the midst of all the garbage in this world, there's a lot of good in this world, a lot of beauty. When God created the world, he said it was good. And there's still a lot of good here. We begin to see in others what God sees in them. We begin to see the good in people. What happens when we are led by the Spirit of God, we are able to start loving other people that we might never have been able to love before. We learn how to serve others that we might never have even wanted to do that before. What happens then is we begin to walk in unity. As I mentioned earlier today during worship, the very thing that Jesus prayed for, that we might be one as he and the Father were one. And it's only through working, there's one body, there is one Spirit that works together. We have to be in the Spirit. We have to be led by the Spirit to be one in Christ. More and more, our mind, if we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, more and more, our mind will be renewed. And then we can be transformed into that new creation that God is working out in us. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." We are being transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. We're becoming more and more like him. That's our goal, to become like Jesus. We're not going to be God, but we can become like Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the one who's bringing us there. He's the one who's doing it. He's the one who's, you know, leading us and guiding us and encouraging us and helping us and showing us the truth. And He's counseling us and He's doing all the things that we're told that He does to bring us to Christ, to reveal Christ so that we might emulate Him. We might become like Him. We could never do this on our own. Believe me, our natural man, our natural woman does not want to be like Christ. We cannot do it on our own. It's the Holy Spirit that we need, the gift that Jesus promised us, every one of us. Remember, He said, "It's good that I go, because when I go, I can send you the promised gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when He comes, He will lead you into all truth." I just want to close by reminding you that Wednesday night, we're going to pray for that. I hope we're packed out, because the Spirit of God is what we need, every one of us. You know, that's something you can pray. You can ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians, what is it, 5:16 or something, I believe it is, says to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's in the present continuous tense, which means like turn on the water and just let it run. Forget about the bill. Just let the Holy Spirit be flowing in on a regular basis. Be being filled over and over again and again, today, tomorrow, the next day, and forever. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how we need to live. And when we allow that to happen, great things are going to happen in our lives. So let's close in prayer. If I could have the prayer team come forward. If you have any need whatsoever, something related to this word, something not related to this word, whatever it is, feel free to come on up and get some prayer. I'm just going to close right now. Father, we want to thank You that You are renewing our minds, Lord God, that You are transforming us, that You are making us new. Lord, we thank You that You have given us the gift of Your Holy Spirit, and that every single one of us, everyone who's hearing this word, that option is for us. That choice is for us. That's where real life comes, when we allow the Spirit of God to come into our life. We need to choose life. And Lord, I pray that we would choose rightly, choose wisely. That we would choose wisely, choose to live for You. Not for this world, but to choose to live for You and be filled with Your Holy Spirit every single day. We thank You, Lord God. We praise You. We honor You. We give You all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.